the world is just doubling and tripling and constantly generating more and more data. Every human is a walking data collection device. And what you're able to do with AI really opens up the ability to either, one, do things that humans shouldn't have to do, or two, do things that humans can't do.
Today on the Daily Scoop podcast from the Scoop News Group, the people part of AI adoption and how industry and government can see eye to eye on AI algorithms. It's Tuesday, March 5th, 2024. Welcome to the Daily Scoop podcast, where you'll hear the latest news and trends facing government leaders. I'm the host of the Daily Scoop podcast, Billy Mitchell. Here's what's happening now. The General Services Administration is working to deliver a corrective action plan to its Inspector General's office by March 25th, following scrutiny from both the agency watchdog and Congress for its purchases of Chinese-made video conference cameras that were susceptible to security vulnerabilities. A GSA spokesperson said the agency has put corrective actions in place and intends to provide the plan to OIG later this month. The spokesperson said the report will include enhancements to acquisition processing procedures that ensure that compliance with all applicable laws is precisely documented. GSA's Office of the Inspector General released a report in January detailing the agency's purchase and use of Chinese-manufactured video conference cameras with known security vulnerabilities that were not compliant with Trade Agreements Act of 1979. At the time of the original report, OIG shared that GSA records indicated that the non-compliant video cameras had not been updated and remained susceptible to vulnerabilities. Out of 210 active cameras, the OIG report noted that 37 had not been updated with the most recent software version, which was from September of 2022. Additionally, 29 of the cameras had not been updated to the June and July 2022 software versions that addressed the prior security vulnerabilities. The GSA spokesperson told FedScoop last week that the agency has 172 OWL devices that are approved for use around the environment and that all 172 devices have been updated to the latest software version. The spokesperson added that the GSA has not found any additional security vulnerabilities and that it has a strong zero-trust architecture to prevent cyber threats and bad actors. In other news, a newly introduced bipartisan Senate bill seeks to improve U.S. participation in international standard-setting bodies for emerging technologies by creating a pilot program that would fund the hosting of standard-setting meetings in the United States. Amid growing concern that U.S. companies and technologies are getting outmuscled by China in standard-setting bodies, the Promoting United States Leadership in Standards Act of 2024 from Senators Mark Warner and Marsha Blackburn calls on the National Institute of Standards and Technology and the State Department to bolster U.S. participation in the creation and implementation of standards for AI and other emerging tech. The legislation also aims to preserve U.S. influence when it comes to technical requirements, as well as values such as openness, safety, and accessibility embedded in emerging technologies. You can read more about these stories and much more at fedscoop.com. For nearly a year now, the adoption of artificial intelligence has been all of the rage in the government space. But still, as you've seen in FedScoop's reporting, there has been hesitation by some agencies to fully embrace the emerging technology because of unknown risks and fear of issues with safety, security, and privacy, among other things. Megan Metzger, the founder and CEO of Decode, joins me now to discuss the status of AI adoption across the federal government, how people are key to its adoption, and how things are progressing for agencies and commercial firms that don't always see eye to eye on sharing what's going on inside of an AI algorithm. Megan, welcome back to the Daily Scoop. So good to see you. How are you doing today?
Great. So great to see you. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. It's always a fun conversation when we get together. So really looking forward to it. And, you know, what else are we going to talk about today than the big topic on everybody's minds, AI? And, you know, and we've been talking a little bit before this conversation, and I understand that Decode's been doing some work in helping connect the dots for the government on the adoption of AI, which, you know, if you've been following the space, people are sort of all over the spectrum and where they are in that adoption curve. So really looking forward to hearing about that. But let's start with the really thousand
foot level sort of picture into this? And why is AI having such a moment right now? Why is it getting all this attention? And what really is making it different than some of the other technology booms we've seen in recent years before?
Sure. I think a lot about this problem of what do we do with AI and is it here to stay? It's absolutely not going anywhere. So you ask the question, what's different about this than the other tech booms? The world is just doubling and tripling and constantly generating more and more data. Every human is a walking data collection device. And what you're able to do with AI really opens up the ability to either one, do things that humans shouldn't have to do, or two, do things that humans can't do, such as find those patterns and find the information and the decision points and the indicators in this massive amount of information that we have. So it's not what, we've seen some other tech trends come and go, but the intrinsic value of how those capabilities affected people's day-to-day lives wasn't in the same way that we're finding with artificial intelligence. So every citizen service, the way that we fight, the battlefield, all of it is changing, and all of that is driven by the what you are able to get out of solutions that are leveraging algorithms.
Yeah, and that makes total sense. I mean, we've heard for years now the explosion of data, everything becoming, more and more data driven. The cloud obviously aids into that. So it makes sense that AI is such a big thing. And, the kind of elephant in the room, though, is the people aspect of it, whether it's the conversation about where people play a role. Is it going to replace people? I know that's a topic for another time, but, I'd really like to ask you sort of the role that people are going to play, especially within the government, for integrating and enabling AI into missions that exist today.
Yeah, the workforce at large really is at an interesting turning point too, because every function and role in the government needs to understand artificial intelligence to some degree. And that seems overwhelming, but it's not as complicated as it sounds. But when you look at the best applications of artificial intelligence, it starts first with the end user and whether that is the citizen or whether that is the warfighter. Somebody has a challenge where applying the capabilities of artificial intelligence could drastically change and impact what they need. So end users have a role in actually identifying what use case we really need to solve for. One of the biggest problems that we see with organizations trying to implement AI is they're going, I need, it's like they have an AI hammer and they're looking for a mole to pop up instead of looking at what are the challenges that we have where this could be the right solution for that. But then when you look across the organization, every role and function has a part. So contracting and acquisitions, like the way we write requirements, how we end up buying the tech solutions has to change. If you're in the legal, looking at the intellectual property of algorithms and what that needs to look like is very, very different from just your traditional software development. And then, of course, you have the technical resources and a lot of work going into what does a career path look like? Do we need more data scientists? Like, what is the skill set that we need inside the organization? So, I think helping make sure that we are applying artificial intelligence where it's going to be most valuable and effective is a huge role that you can't leave up to a computer, right? And then also, it's going to be up to the people to really determine, how to do this ethically, how to apply it in the right way, and kind of when do we want humans in the loop? When do we not want humans in the loop? So it's all a people problem. I say the tech part's actually probably the least complicated part of all of this. It's going to be the humans.
Yeah, I mean, we hear that a lot, and it seems like there's also not enough of those people around to do this really complicated high-level work.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting moment where, the future of how we operate is going to be dependent on the skill set and how do we recruit people into civil service or into the military that understand, what it's going to take to really make this effective and powerful and ethical. And like, we're gonna have to put a lot of energy into getting those right resources in. And I'm not sure that we'll be able to rely on outsourced contracting knowledge in the same way, because it fundamentally changes the way the government operates. So I think one of the biggest decision points for every organization working on this is what level of decision-making and kind of influence and understanding do you want to have and retain inside your organization, versus what do you go out and use the private sector for what it does best?
Yeah. Well, kind of continuing on the theme, I mean, the federal government, whether you're on the civilian or the defense side, makes some really large decisions each and every day that, you know, impact the lives and on behalf of the lives of, you know, millions and millions of Americans. So those are no small, trivial, you know, tasks that they're working on. So when you bring AI or an algorithm into that sort of decision making, I'm curious, you know, how does that look for government organizations? Because again, the stakes are much higher when it involves the security, the privacy, the lives of American people, and them getting the benefits and services they need.
Yeah. So I think there's a lot to unpack there. You know, one of the things that I think about quite a bit is when it comes to decision-making itself in our risk tolerance, when it comes to the tools that we're going to implement. And what do I mean? So let's say that we used some AI-powered tools and algorithms to parse through data to give us the information that we think we need to make a decision. And let's say in this case, it has human lives involved. Okay, so this is going to happen in the Department of Defense, right? We're going to leverage the information that we have, all this data and this intelligence coming in, especially from the tactical edge, to make a decision on whether or not to shoot, you know, just to kind of put a finer point on it.
Yeah.
Now, what I see is people's first reaction is to say, well, I need it to be 99% accurate, right? Because it's a tool. But when you look at the accuracy of a human decision, it's in the 50s. Mm. And so what is our risk tolerance? And what do we actually say that's better than we can do as a human today, but it feels scarier and feels riskier because we didn't control the inputs in the decision as much. And that's a lot of what I see organizations wrestling with, is how do I measure and determine what outcome is okay and appropriate? And again, when do you put a human in that loop and when do you not? And when do we trust the system and when do we not? So those are the hard, gnarly questions. But if used correctly, like imagine the lives we could save, or the, you know, on the citizen side, like the services we could provide if we find the right balance and trust the system to, again, do what humans cannot do.
Yeah, it strikes me. It always seems like it's those risk management or CISO type folks who are the most skeptical of, or not even skeptical, but just least tolerant of AI, because their job is to accept risk or to authorize risk. And it's hard to do.
Yeah. But the famous Washington Post test, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
But in that regard, I think it's so interesting because on the other side, industry doesn't want to open up the hood and share what's inside. I mean, the proverbial black box, but describe it however you want. It's hard for them to open up those models and show what's inside. So there's kind of that push and pull there between industry and government. So talk to me more about what industry's thought is and why it's so sort of, you know, less lenient with, you know, working with government to sort of open the hood there.
Yeah. Well, I think about this quite a bit, not just in artificial intelligence and the private sector, but all the emerging tech capabilities. Their business models are very different from a traditional GovCon, right? So, you know, the government contracting industry and the primes that have built tech specific for the government have lived in this world where we worry a lot about intellectual property. The government doesn't want to get vendor locked into these proprietary tech systems and like trying to find that right balance. Well, if you look at a product company, let's say they're delivering algorithms and things like that, that is their entire business model in most cases. So their intellectual property around the algorithms that they have built is what's going to give them the edge in the market. And you can't just, you don't necessarily want to open that up in the same way, because that is your secret sauce. And you want to sell licenses, and you want it to be a very scalable, very high margin kind of business. So that's some of it. I've had a lot of discussions with, general officers in the DoD of like, is America's secret weapon our algorithms, or is it the data that we have that we feed into the algorithms? There's some world where some of these algorithms end up becoming commodities, just like we see in other tech booms, right? But we're not quite there fully, if that makes sense. So it's hard. And it's also one of those where, the goal of AI is to learn and train and constantly evolve how it's making decisions. Mm-hmm. And it's where, like, what do we need to know about it, and what confidence do we need to have?
Yeah. And so I guess let's close there, on the government side, then looking backwards, if there's sort of this non-starter with industry in terms of sharing the goods and their intellectual property or their business, as you put it, the essential core part of their business, can government continue to use AI without having access to what is under those hoods, or not understanding how that works, and trusting industry to do the right thing?
I'll put it back to our risk discussion. And what use case are you applying it to? But the short is yes. Again, the data that we have inside our government is really a lot of our advantage and a lot of our secret weapon. And we want to protect it, and we want to make sure we're leveraging it effectively. Now, do you want to put all of your data into these systems where it's all a black box, but it is has a pretty dramatic mission impact, such as human lives and things like that? Maybe that's not the best place to do it. So willy-nilly versus parsing through some data to identify some, acquisition anomalies, like on lower levels. I don't know the great example right off. But so yes, I think that's what needs to be explored. So first, what is your use case you're trying to apply it to? What decisions and what's your risk level and that you have for the organization against the mission? What capabilities are out there and the tech stack that you need, and how do you want to run it? And, what are those lines? And I think that's where leaders need to have some understanding of what they need to know and decide, and like draw kind of what their vision is for how they want to implement it, so that people can roll out. But we can't just say, if I can't see the algorithm, then I'm not going to do it, because guess what? China doesn't care. Trying to
think
in a good way.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think it gets better over time, more partnership and more, mutual understanding. And it seems to me that, at least from the industry side, AI is getting baked more and more into the services government's already using anyway. So there's going to be ways that, it just becomes a part of the package that agencies are already using.
Oh yeah. It's baked into everything. We can debate on a different podcast, true AI. But I just had a conversation with an oversight organization, and they're using natural language processing to like go through their oversight reports faster. It's everywhere, and it can be used for so many things. And that's what I'm saying. I think a lot of times when we think about AI in the government, we automatically go to weapon systems and these big decisions and tactical edge. But also, how about we just stop humans from having to do what we should be doing, like comb through spreadsheets and copying, pasting stuff and trying, like the unsexy side that it could be wildly applicable to.
Yeah, I love it. No more busy work. Sounds like a bright future ahead.
That's the dream. Really get there, let me know.
yeah, we'll see. Anyways, Megan, always a great conversation. Really appreciate you coming on the podcast.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. And I'm sure we can have this in a year and it will be wildly different. So this will be a fun ride.
All right, we'll put it on the schedule.
Sounds great.
You can learn more about AI adoption at thedailyscooppodcast.com. The Daily Scoop podcast is available on all podcast platforms. If you've already rated the podcast on your platform of choice, thanks so much. High ratings and good reviews of the show help more people to find it. The Daily Scoop podcast is a production of the Scoop News Group in Washington, D.C. Adam Butler and Carlin Fisher help put the show together, and the entire Scoop News Group team contributes. We'll be back on Thursday with a brand new episode. Until then, I'm your host, Billy Mitchell. Thanks so much for listening.